Baruch Hashem. It should be only good things. Okay, so we encounter in this week's parsha Moshe Rabbeinu's transition. And Moshe Rabbeinu recognizes, he understands at this point, that it seems unlikely for him to continue to lead B'nai Yisrael. And like any good leader would prepare for the next generation. Certainly a person of humble spirit like Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't need to go down as the greatest leader of all time, although of course in our minds he certainly would. But he wants to make sure that Klal Yisrael are going to be provided for. So the Pesukim described in this week's Parsha, in the first source, Vayadabra Moshe al Hashem Leibar. Yifkor Hashem Elokei Haruchos Lechol Basar Ish Al Eida. We need a leader. We need someone to take over. Because Moshe understands he can't go on forever. And what is the nature of this leader? Asher Yetzei Lifneyem, Asher Yavo Lifneyem, Asher Yotzi'eim, Asher Yivi'eim. Someone to really escort them in and out, to provide for them in all arenas of life. V'lo tia adas Hashem Ketzon Asher Ein Lahem Ro'eh. That the Jewish people should not be left like sheep without a shepherd. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. So Hashem says to Moshe, the obvious selection, Kach lechas Yoshua ben Nun. Yish asher ruach bo, a man of great spirit, v'samachta es yodcha alav, and place your hands upon him. V'amato oso pasik yotes, v'amato oso lefnei alazor ha-kohen, v'lefnei kol ha-ido, v'tziviso oso le'ineyam. And Yoshua is going to be the one to continue to lead Klal Yisrael. And Moshe, you'll transfer some of your spirit upon him, some of your wisdom upon him, and you should do this in front of B'nai Yisrael, and B'nai Yisrael will accept the leadership of Yeshua, v'kachava, that's what Moshe did. Pasuk HaBeiz, v'yas, Moshe, k'sher tziva Hashem oso, he took Yeshua, he stood him before Elazar, Kohen, and the entire assembly of B'nai Yisrael, and he placed his hand upon him, and in this moment, so to speak, Yeshua was sworn in, even though Moshe was not going to die immediately, but from this point forward, it was obvious that Yeshua would be the next leader of Klal Yisrael. What about Moshe's children? What happened to Moshe's children? I don't know if anyone saw the recent OU Jewish Action, but I think the cover story, Rabbi's children. And for someone who's in Chinuch, and I guess somewhat in Rabbanus now, right, it's certainly something that one is, that a Rav is very cautious and very nervous about, because history tells the tale of many great rabbis who had some children who were great tzaddikim and righteous people, and rabbis who had children who chose a very different path, almost as a rejection of the religiosity of the parents. So what's the story with Moshe's children? We don't know a lot about Moshe's children. Did Moshe have high hopes for his children? Did Moshe want his children to be the next leaders of B'nai Yisrael? So Rashi tells us exactly what Moshe was thinking. Rashi tells us in source number 2 that when Moshe says, Yifkor Hashem Elokei Haruchos Lechol Basar Ish Al Ha'eda, who does Moshe have in mind? Says Rashi, based on Chazal, Kevon Sheshama Moshe, Sha'omer Lo Amakum Tei Nachla Slavchad Lebnosav. Once Moshe saw that the daughters of Slavchad were going to be Yoresh, their father, that they were going to take the place of their father, that they were going to inherit their father. Right? So Moshe suddenly realizes, you know what? Just like these daughters, realizing that there was really no better heir than themselves, they fought for the right, that they should be able to have their father's Yerusha. So the time has come, Moshe says, you know what, I need to start thinking about what I'm leaving for my children. And it wasn't just what he's leaving in the bank account, it's what he's leaving in terms of a spiritual legacy. Amar, Moshe said to Hashem, where it's bolded in source number 2, Higia shah she'etva tzerachai. The time has come for me to make my demands, the things that I need. She'yirshu b'nai skidulasi. I want my children to inherit my greatness, to inherit my stature, take this position of great honor and great responsibility that I've held for many, many years. Hashem, understanding what Moshe's intentions are, says, that's not my plan. My plan is not that the B'nai Moshe are going to be the ones who carry Klal Yisrael forward to the next generation. Rather, Yoshua has earned the right to lead Klal Yisrael. The reward that he gets for his shimush. Yeshua has been training for this. Now again, does that mean that Moshe's children are totally not cut out for it? Yeshua is a better choice. Yeshua is the only choice. Right? Did Moshe unrealistically think that his kids deserved to be the leaders of Klal Yisrael? Was it realistic that they would be the leaders? But Hashem said, no, Yeshua has worked harder throughout the years to earn this position. After all, Shalom Mash Mitocha Oel. Not for a moment has Yeshua abandoned your side. right? As the Torah describes in Shmos Paraklamet Gimel about Yeshua, he's called a Nar Lo Yamish Mitoch Ha'Oel. He's Lo Yamish Mitoch Ha'Oel. One of my students, when I taught in TABC many years ago at this point, once pointed out to me, he said that this phrase that describes the loyalty of Yeshua, he's Lo Yamish, that he never leaves, he never abandons. He's always there to learn from Moshe and to assist Moshe Rabbeinu. This really captures the essence of Yeshua. So one of my students pointed out that the gematria of Yeshua is 391. And the gematria of Lo Yamish, Lo is 31. Yamish is 360, it's 391. Right? So Yeshua's whole mechus is exactly what Rashi is describing here. Shalom mash mitocha awal, as the Chumash again says in Shmos Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, that Yeshua is a nar lo yamish mitocha Allah. That midah of lo yamish captures again the essence of Yeshua, and Hashem says, therefore Yeshua has earned it. And Rashi concludes from the words of Chazal, quoting the pasuk in Mishlei, v'zeo she'amar Shlomo notzer te'ina, the one who protects, the one who guards the te'ina, yochel pirya, deserves to eat its fruit. The one who tends to the garden deserves to enjoy the fruit. So this Rashi, again, can be a point of entry to discuss this topic. Namely, when there is a person who's in a position of authority, do we assume that the children automatically are yorish, inherit, and take over the mamali makum, their father? Or lavdafka? Lavdafka that because your father was Kohen Gadol, so now what? So you have a better chance of becoming Kohen Gadol? Your father was a melech, your father was the rav of the community. So therefore the son automatically can say, I would like, when my father retires, I want the position. What if there's someone who's better qualified? Right?
Was in the daf last
week. Okay. Jackie, who was in the daf last week, the grandson who could take over? Okay. Who else learns daf? Okay. So let's see. So let's start with a quote from the Ramah. You don't have it on the page in front of you. I brought along some Sfarim. I stuck to my rule this week. I kept the Meir Makomos to one page. Two sides. Says the Ramah. This is in Yoredeya Siman Resh Mem Hei. The Ramah says the following, and I'm quoting directly from the Ramah. Mi shehuchzak l'rav b'ir. Let's talk about, right, Yerusha b'rabanus. A person is a rav of a city. Afilu hechzak ba'atzmo be'ez asrara. Or he has some other type of authoritative position. Ein lahoridu migdu laso afal pi shaba l'sham acher gadol v'mem. The first rule is that if some bigger rabbi shows up in town, we don't immediately fire the rabbi and replace him with the bigger rabbi, the better rabbi. It doesn't work like that. Okay? The position of Rabbanus is a position of authority, and it can't be taken away so easily. We'll have to see what the source for this is. Right? But we don't allow... Now, there are outstanding stories, unbelievable stories of tzaddikim and talmidei chacham and communal rabbis who, when another rav came to the town, who this rav in his humility felt was greater, immediately said, I'm no longer the rav of the town, I retire. Told today I was the Rav of Brisk, from this day forward, you know, someone says the Rav of Brisk. Right? There are stories, there are historical accounts of great people who turned down, who literally handed over the Rabbanus to people who they held to be greater Gedolim. Says the Ramah, Va'afilu b'no u'ben b'no kodmim la'achirim kol zman sh'mamal ha'makam avoseyam b'yastet v'heim chachamim k'tzat. Amazing line in the Ramah. The Ramah says, the children of this individual are the first in line, not others, they come before anyone else, to fulfill, to fill the place of their fathers, right? As long as they are, in fact, worthy in terms of their yiraschet, that they're God-fearing, like their father was, let's say, v'heim chachamim k'tzah, which means you don't have to necessarily be as big a gadol as your father was. If you're a decent candidate, you're yarei shamayim, and you have a basic knowledge to be able to do the job properly, so then you're entitled to the position. And what source does the Ramah quote? A pasuk in Chumash, Parsha Sav, Va'akoin ha-Mashiach mi-banav tachtav. That by kahuna is transmitted, right, from parent to child. That the Kohen ha-Mashiach, right, his children will, in theory, be the first in line to replace the Kohen Gadol. Shebeno kodim l'choladim. That a child who is qualified will come before anyone else. If the rabbi has a contract for a set period of time, so it's understood from the beginning that rabbi, this is not yours and your family's forever, or it's always been the practice in the town that they can choose whoever they want, whenever they want, then harashos biyadim. But once the kal has accepted the rabbi, And once the rabbi has no contract from year to year, for kol shekeinim asu beratzon hasrara, ein l'shum gadol ba'olam listarer alav l'holi vido. That no greater person in the world can come and remove the rabbi. Even if the gadol ador showed up and said, "I want to be a rabbi in this town now," this rav is entitled to that position and it cannot be taken away. That is the psak of Moshe Isserlis in Yoredeh. Okay, a parallel area where we find this halacha. Let me just mention the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, in Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin, the Rambam says, in the context of a king, right, that a king, presumably a king's child, will also inherit the malucha. And then the Rambam says, the law of Malchus Bilvad, this is not true only for a king. Anyone who has a position of authority, and again, this can lead to many great disputes and based in what is considered a position of sarah, a position of authority. But anyone who has an authoritative position in Klal Yisrael, Yerusha libeno uluben beno ad olam, is transmitted from father to son for all generations. Vuhu shiha ben mamali makavavosa b'chachmu v'yira. As long as the child, here again, he doesn't say Chachma, a little bit of Chachma, like the Masa, but as long as he's qualified, he has the wisdom, he has the Yiras Shemayim, then he's able to take his father's place. So it seems like an open shot, you know, case. Psak from the Ramah, Psak based on the Rambam. Okay, I'll share with you one more Ramah, and this comes from Orach Chaim, in the Orach Chaim section of the Shulchan Aruch, Simin Nun Gimel, the Halachos of Shliach Tzibur. Have some chips. Shkayach. Hey, there's room. I just need a little more room over here. Sorry. Okay, in the halachos of a shliach tzibur, who is qualified to be a shliach tzibur? So we got to think back to the good old days. Hey, maybe I'm the Ram, you know, there's people who assume from year to year, I'm entitled to, because I davened last year, I'm entitled to daven next year. Hey, but the good old days when a community had a shliach tzibur, an official, you know, chazan, a cantor. Right? So what happens when he gets old? Let's say he can't, you know, be the chazan all the time. 75% of the time he still has it. 25% of the time it's too much for him. So says the Rambam, this is in Siman Nun Gimel in Aruch Chaim, Sif Chaf Hei, V'shliach Tzibur Shehizkin, V'rotza Limnos B'no L'siyahu. Let's say the Shliach Tzibur gets old and they want to appoint his son to assist him leprakim occasionally. Afal pi she'ein kol b'no ariv kekolo. Even though the son's voice is not as pleasing as the father's voice. Right? But he has a decent voice. Again, if he has a bad voice, that's a disqualification for a shliach tzibur. But if he has a decent voice, he's not the chazan that his father was. Im mamali makomo b'shar dvarim, if he generally is going to take his father's place in other matters, meaning he's seen as the one who fills in for his father in all the things that his father needs assistance in, if he's the obvious continuation of his father's legacy in the community, b'no kodim l'chol adam ve'ein hatzibur yecholin limchos v'yadam. Right, it's good. Chazen ben chazen. Yeah? So then he has the right to take his father's position, and no one can object. No one can complain. So we have two Ramahs now. Right? The Ramah in Yoredeh Reish Mem Hei, and the Ramah in Orach Chaim Simin Nun Gimel. Now the Mangin of Ram comments on the side here. He says, yes, this is this seems to be the accepted halacha, and this is based on a medrash, a sefrei, in Devarim. But then he quotes a few sources that say, well, it could be that this is not true for everything. Now we already saw the Ramah by Rabbanus. And yet over here, says the Magen Avraham, seemingly arguing on this Ramah, he says, he quotes from the Maharash Adam, and he quotes from the Ramah Mipano, in the Asar Ma'amaros, Debechochem ha-mamuna laharbitz Torah o ledin lo amrinan kach. When it comes to Torah, when it comes to someone sitting on a base sit, we want the best. Who doesn't want the best rabbi? Who doesn't want the best dayan on his basin? Who doesn't want the best Rebbe for his children? Right? He quotes the Ramah Mipano in the Asar Ma'amaros, Dechol ha-minuyim sheheim keser Torah ein b'neim kodman. That when it comes to Torah, this is not the rule. Now again, we have to figure out, is the Rav of the Shul primarily about teaching Torah? Is that the Rav's job? Is the Rav like a dayan? Is the Rav to make sure that the families in his community have shalom bayis? And that people who are struggling with their parnassah are able to be provided for? What's the main role of the Rav? There's a lot to analyze here, a lot to explore here. So this is a question, again, that's been explored throughout the generations, and I want to just take a look at how this Rashi, in this week's Parsha, informs us of what the halacha, in fact, might be. So again, at this point, we've seen the Ramah, we've seen the Rambam, we've seen the Ramah, and now we've seen a little bit, a possibility of a dissent amongst the Magen Avraham, quoting some other Achronim, in terms of... in terms of a possibility of being machalik between positions of authority in general versus Torah. When it comes to Torah, maybe we want the best. And what exactly that means, we have to clarify. Okay. The Chassam Sofer has a couple of tshuvas about this topic. The most famous one, and probably the one that most clearly expresses his shita, is in source number 3 on the page in front of you. Okay, I gave you a picture of the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer was one of the most outstanding leaders of Jewry, really in the early 19th century. I passed away, you can see, in 1839, in Hungary, and in Slovakia. Chassam Sofer was a very big person. He was often turned to. He didn't publish a lot in his lifetime. But, you know, after his Petira, we have thousands of Chuas in the Chassam Sofer, and they're very, very important in Psak Halacha. So he says in the opening paragraph here, he says, I received a letter, and the following question is, what's come my way? Where it's bolded. Hey, Yos Begalil Ploni Harav Mufla Ploni Rotza Leshev Akise Rabbanus Liosim Amalo Makum Avosav Harav Agon Zatzal. A situation where, sounds like an outstanding Torah personality, wants to replace his father, who used to be the Rav. And there are some people, he writes, and he says, Haben ra'ay la'oso itztala, that the son is worthy of that position. V'amnam nagid echan minegdo, but there are those who oppose him, at least someone opposes him, levilti yoshiva kisei avosav, u'bah hadavar b'plilim. And now it's a machlokas, it's in court. So they wrote to the Chassam Sofer, they said, whatever you tell us, that's what we're going to do. This shows you
politics.
Yeah, politics, true politics. Right, but it shows you the unbelievable the awe and respect that people had for the Chassam Sofer. And he says, you know, it seems, the person who wrote the Shaila says, it seems obvious to me, I read the Rambam that I read to you, right? The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim. He says, I have sources that seem to indicate that it's a no-brainer, that of course if the child is worthy, he takes over. So Chassam Sofer says, so let's talk about Moshe and his children. It's a long tshuva, right? Kedarko B'Kodesh, a long tshuva. But in the final paragraph, he says, I'll give you my greatest proof. My greatest proof, he says, and it's in the second paragraph on the page in front of you. After discussing and bringing proofs this way and that, I'll bring you the biggest proof of all, the Medrash and Parshas Pinchas. What does it say in the Medrash and Parshas Pinchas? I'll skip it inside in the words of the Chassam Sofer, it's straight out of the Rashi that we read. Right? It's the Rashi that we read. That Moshe had in mind for his children, and Hashem says, no, I think Yeshua is the better candidate. Notzer te'ina yochel pirach. So says the Chassam Sofer, let's think about this Rashi. And again, it's not going to be so posh what the Chassam Sofer says, just to give you an advance warning. If Moshe Rabbeinu wants to appoint his children, so what basic assumption should we probably make? The basic assumption is that they're decently fit for the job. If Moshe's kids, God forbid, have rabbi syndrome and are off the derech, right, because they rebelled against their father, the leader of Klal Yisrael, so then presumably Moshe is not going to have dimyonos, these ridiculous dreams that my son should be. Although sometimes you have people, you have parents, and all the more so, sometimes parents who are extra religious, right? Who like won't accept. I've had this situation, unfortunately. I've had, you know, parents come to me and say, you know, Ryan, we're going to talk to you about our son or our daughter. You know, we think that they're, you know, he's not davening the way he used to. And I'm thinking like, Mom, Dad, I know your kid's being Michal Shabbos. You don't have the clue what's going on, right? Like, so sometimes a parent, you know, especially a parent who's very committed to Torah and its values, you know, will turn a blind eye to the misdeeds of the child. So it could be Moshe Rabbeinu is just totally off here, right? But it's unlikely. Presumably Moshe's looking towards his children and hoping that they're going to take over because they're at least decently fit for the job. So look what he writes, or it's bolded. V'hine Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom ba'atzmo amar asher yetze lifneim asher yavu lifneim. Moshe understands what the position. I mean, you can't say Moshe doesn't understand the job description. He says the job description. I need a person of spirit. I need a person who can lead them in and out and provide for them, who can guide them. Moshe understands the weightiness of the responsibility. We need a person of spirit, as Yeshua has described here. Chazal understand the person of spirit. Well, Tanya quotes this at the beginning of Sefer Tanya, right? To realize that every Jew has a different natil, every Jew has a different spirit. So to be a really proper leader of Klal Yisrael, you have to understand that every Jew needs something else. This Jew needs to be spoken to in a heavy way, and this Jew needs a hug. And this Jew needs to this type of learning in order to be matzliach, and this Jew needs to be coached in a different way. And so Moshe understood the position.
V'ilu lo haye yodeya babanov kol ilu midos lo haye mavakish lahem gedula. Right? If Moshe would have looked at his own children and said, and seen that they're not cut out for it, he never would have hoped or dreamed that they should take over. Elal karchach, so it must be, right? It would be a contradiction to his tefillah of what he wants the job description to be. Elal karchach, where it's the abbreviation, aleph ayin chav. Elal karchach hayubanim ru'uyim lakach. It must be that Moshe's children are fit for the job. V'kadosh baruch hu lo amar shi'oshua yoser hagun lakach. And as the full Medrash says, that Yeshua is more cut out for the job because he puts away the Svarim in the base Medrash, and he aligns the chairs and the benches. Right. So what makes Yeshua a better candidate? Seemingly not all that much. And all the more so, says the Chassam Sofer, "V'kasha k'siv tachtov mibanav." We know the pasuk that was quoted by the Rambam. The pasuk says "tachtov mibanav." You have it in two places. I gave it to you in the footnote number two. Right, in Parshas Tetzave, and again in Parshas Sav, that's what the Ramah quoted, it says, Tachta Mibanav. So we have a concept that a Kohen is replaced by his children. And the assumption is that's true by a Melech, that's true by all positions of authority. So therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, the fact that Moshe's children did not replace him, even though presumably they are cut out for the job, the fact that they did not take over Moshe's Rabbanis, El Al Karchach, concludes the Chassam Sofer, Bekeser Torah Lo Nemarzeh. Apparently, when it comes to wearing the crown of Torah, leading the Jewish people, primarily as Moshe Rabbeinu, our teacher, apparently there's no automatic Yerusha when it comes to Torah. Sounds like the Magen Avraham, right? Magen Avraham quoting those Achronim who say this way, that when it comes to Torah, there's no automatic transmission. Aval Elazar Yarish Gedulas Shal Aaron. Yes, Elazar would become Kohen Gadol in the place of his father Aaron, because when it comes to Kohuna, there is such a concept. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's children presumably were qualified and were not selected, right? It must be that there's no automatic obligation on the community, in this case Klal Yisrael, to appoint even a worthy child in the place of the father. Again, Yeshua doesn't seem to be that much more outstanding, but for whatever reason, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, I choose Yeshua. Again, is that what Klal Yisrael wanted? Is that what Hashem wanted? Okay, more to think about here. But the Chassam Sofer thinks this is a Raya Brura. Okay. Yeah, you wanted to...
But weren't the Kohanim part of the function but were to be Morei Halacha?
Right. So, all of Shevet Levi serves a critical part of their job is to be the guardians of Torah and the transmitters of Torah. So it's a good question. But again, there the Pasuk, he says, you can't argue with the Pasuk. I mean, the context of Tachtam, right? Tachtam Ibanov, in Tetzav and Parshas Tzav is in the context of Kahuna. So by Kahuna, there's nothing really to debate. By Malchus, by a Melech, also it seems to be that way. Rabbanus, again, however we're going to define that, seems to be primarily a Torah position, even more so than Kohanim who are Avoda/Torah, right? Avoda Samikdash versus Torah. And apparently, you can't make the connection between Kahuna and Rabbanus. So the Chassam Sofer's conclusion is, yeah.
We're drawing a parallel. Is there a difference between the Bechor, meaning could Moshe say, because he has one Bechor, versus the Kohanim, all your children are Kohanim, where there's a Bechor? Does that play in at all? In other words, if you're a rabbi of a community, is mm-hmm. your firstborn expected to be the firstborn?
Right. Is there any preference in terms of the children?
With Moshe,
you have this all the time in Hasidic courts, fighting amongst, you know. You have an oldest son or a grandson who says, I'm the oldest, so I get it. And then sometimes you have the Hasidim who say, but you're not the most outstanding member of this base medrash. You're not the most outstanding chassid of the previous rabbah. So they break off and they say, we want to go with the spiritual heir, so to speak, more so than, and that's what Yeshua was. Yeshua was the spiritual heir, right, of Moshe Rabbeinu. Talmud is considered like a child. Well, we'll come back to that point. I mean, Avnei Ezer will come back to that point. But again, there's a lot to think about here. Yeah, Jackie.
Possible that the difference, the distinction you make between a Kohen and a Melech and a Rav is the word you use, the sounds of Rav, Elazar Yarash Yulasa Shalar. That the mere fact that Elazar was born makes him a Kohen.
Mm-hmm.
There's no distinction there.
Right.
With a Melech, we have the same idea.
So you're born into Malchus.
Now, the word you use there is Yorash.
Mm-hmm.
That word does not appear with Torah. Morasha. Moshe Morasha.
Okay, good. So
Yerusha.
Good. So you're stealing the second half of this year. Okay, so you can either you can take over if you want, or we'll have to wait.
They didn't come to hear me.
They didn't come to hear me either. There's good food. Yes, Ali.
I don't know what to make of it, but I would find it interesting. Of the only people in the entire generation who are standing there now who would probably not be fitting to be leaders of Klal Yisrael would be Moshe's children.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't experience Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Right. Right. So they've been living outside the fold for much of...
Right. How could they relate?
Right. But the qualifications are an Ish Ruach who understands... the traumatic experience of Mitzrayim.
They didn't see Mitzrayim, they didn't see Yetzias Mitzrayim, they didn't see Kriyas Yom.
Right? It's a big...
Moshe himself was a person who became a leader, even though he was somewhat...
Somewhat chutz l'machana. Right.
Yeah.
I have an answer to that.
No,
I'll share it tomorrow. It's not halacha l'maaseh. We're gonna go straight from here into a shul meeting.
Nobody brings that up.
It's a very valid point. It's a very valid point in terms of Moshe's. Again, how knowledgeable were Moshe's children? First of all, again, the Chassam Sofer is assuming if Moshe's is even entertaining the possibility of appointing them, they have to be qualified. But I'll show you the Maamar Chazal in a moment that says that they're not qualified, that they're simply not qualified. Yeah, Tzvi.
I wanted to just ask that the point that Mr. Stern pointed out about Lashon HaChatam Sofer, he uses also Lashon Keser Torah, so you represent the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos.
Okay, so we're going to come, I'm not sure which Mishnah you're thinking of, but you can...
Three Ksarim, Keser Torah,
okay, so
Keser Malchus, and Keser...
Something to think about, that those are three independent crowns. We'll see another Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, but yeah, definitely something to... Right, the crown of Torah, the Keser Torah. Because your Torah has to be earned. That's right. Jackie's saying you're not born. You're born into Malchus on some level. You're born into Kuhn on some level. You're not born into Torah.
Right. I mean, you started alluding to Chassidus and sects. A lot of times, the Rebbe is not the biggest Talmud Chacham in the
right?
area.
Also true.
Because they appoint
a posek, a rav, a dayan, right?
The posek, the abezdin, to do that type of stuff.
Right.
And it takes different personalities. Mm-hmm. The famous discussion of if you had a pasuk in a shul, would you go to Chafetz Chaim or would you go to Yoruch HaShulchan? And the answer was, you go to Yoruch HaShulchan because he was a shul rav.
Right.
He had a you know, the rav meets the rav there. He had a shul and he had an answer. Chavetz Chaim had the luxury of, you know, collecting all the chumras and bringing and signing them in his work. Different tipus.
Okay, let's hear one more. Rabbi Yossi, yeah. I like Mr. Strong. I'm going to switch that also.
You could somewhat call that a failed system.
Okay, good, good. This is what's kavalik about the chabur. I guess people are thinking. Okay, good. So let's see. The Avnei Nezer. Who's the Avnei Nezer? Who's Avnei Nezer's son?
Shem
Yishmuel. Okay, the Avnei Nezer, the Rebbe of Sakachov. The Sakachov, in source number 4, has a kuntras where he talks about these things. And he quotes the Chassam Sofer. And again, I did a little editing. Right? In Os Mem, he says, he says, I am not convinced, says the Avnei Nezer, that this is a clear-cut raya at all. Sofichar was an amazing Talmud Chacham, a Chassidus Rebbe, a unique personality. And he says, I'm not at all convinced, I'm not going to say impressed, because that may be a little too harsh, but he says, I'm not at all convinced that the Chassam Sofer's best raya is in fact a raya at all. And he says, I'll tell you why. He says, Mechilas kvod the Chassam Sofer, now look what it says in Avos Tzvi Nasan about Moshe's children. Just give us a little perspective. Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom, Banecha Lo Asku B'Torah.
not only does he say Yeshua is more qualified, but he says to Moshe, what are you talking about? Your children are not, they're not serious about learning. Now again, it's hard for me to imagine that Moshe's children were not Kovei Yitim LaTorah, that they were not Shomer Shabbos Jews. Right, that much I would imagine, they certainly were. But at the same time, says Chazal, says the Avos Rabbi Nassan, they were not Oseik V'Torah in a way that made them qualified. Avil im hayu oskim v'Torah v'hayu memal makom v'hayu yarshim gedulaso. It's mashma from Avos Rabbi Nassan that if they would have been knowledgeable, then they could have taken over. Right? So you're telling me, no, they're for sure qualified, and yet we see from the fact that they weren't appointed that there's no Yerusha when it comes to Rabbanus. Says the Avnei Nezer, I'll show you a Chazal that says they weren't qualified at all. Had they been qualified, maybe there is Yerusha Rabbanus. Maybe a son of a Rav who's qualified will take over for his father. But he says even more than that. Argam Luvadze. He says more than that. If you look in the Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Kuf Beis, the Gemara has a discussion, is Moshe considered like a melech? There are many Rashis in Chumash that imply that Moshe is a melech. Or Yibishur and Melech, reference to Moshe according to Rashi. Moshe sometimes is treated like a melech. Moshe also had the status of a Kohen Gadol. Now, let's think about this for a second. If Moshe is a melech or a quasi-melech, his children don't get his melucha, even though we saw clearly that when it comes to a melech, a child should take over for a melech. That was the Rambam. A Kohen Gadol, we see that Aaron's son does take over. So you see that even if we understand that Moshe has somewhat a status of Kohen Gadol because of his involvement in the inauguration of the Mishkan, or the setting up of the Mishkan, the pre-inauguration of the Mishkan. And if you see Moshe as a melech, and we know that even as a melech in Kohen Gadol, he doesn't transmit to his children, so apparently Moshe is a really bad case study to use for this halacha. Apparently he's the exception to the rule. Because if he's Kohen Gadol, well, he doesn't transmit as Kohen Gadol, even though normally Kohen Gadol does transmit. If he's a melech, he doesn't transmit as a melech, even though normally a melech does transmit. So he says, "V'nei Moshe haya melech v'kohen gadol, v'zara lo yarshub gedulaso, v'ein lomo me'Moshe." And therefore, seemingly, we should not learn from Moshe. Yeah.
I understand that he wasn't kohen gadol.
Where do we see Moshe's children being yorish anything?
The Torah doesn't talk about it.
Okay, that's a pretty shtika koda, I think.
No, they're like kohen gadol. So he wasn't a Kohen Gadol anymore. He had the Kohen
Gadol. They're not the leader. You have to understand what Malucha. Okay, we have to understand what Moshe's Malchus.
So why would we assume that they were Nirish Malucha?
Okay, we have to understand what Moshe's Malchus is Bechal. But the Pashas is his children did not take over in any way, even if he meets the qualifications for the most obvious takeover, namely Melech and Kohen Gadol.
Rashi's comment is that Yoshua takes over because he broke his teeth with Moshe and has nothing to do about. He's just not. We're not trying. Just not embarrassing Moshe.
Okay.
Well, if Moshe was a melech,
it
was never Meshua.
Again, I don't want to get into what Moshe's malchus is because he's not a melech in the classic sense. If someone says who's the first melech of Klal Yisrael, right? The correct answer, at least on the Chidon HaTanach, is not Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so he's primarily a teacher, but there is an inyan of malchus by Moshe Rabbeinu. Which you have to understand what that is. Right. That's another place where you see clearly that Chazal had such a notion that Korach viewed him like a man, right? You gave Aaron Kohen Gadol and you gave yourself Malchus. Yeah.
But Moshe is also known as the Adon HaNaviv. So Moshe has another, we never see anywhere that the children of the Navi assume the role of a Navi. Perhaps what Moshe is asking is part of my role seems to be, so part of my role is definitely a Navi.
Mm-hmm.
Part of my role is that of a Malach. Part of my role is a Kohen Gadol. So some of it is inheritable, some of it is not, and therefore maybe because Moshe Rabbeinu had a blended role, so to speak, the taina is I'd like it to be something that I can give over to my children.
Mm-hmm. Seems right. So Moshe is he's a multifaceted character, and we have to. Again, something. I want to give something to my children. In the end, he's not zocha to give anything to his children. Now, the Avnei Nezer concludes his tshuva by quoting a very fascinating and, almost tragic comment from the Zohar Kaddish. Because the Zohar says, you'll notice that when the Torah describes Moshe's children, it refers to them, at least on one location, in one place, as shnei banah. It refers to Moshe's children as the children of Moshe's wife. Almost disassociating Moshe Rabbeinu from his children. So what's that about? So the Avnei Nezer says, yeah, in a certain sense, Moshe is so spiritually lofty that to refer to his biological children as his children is almost an insult to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it almost isn't truthful in terms of the relationship. Moshe Rabbeinu, after all, is told, right, Shalna Alecha Me'al Raglecha, which again the Zohar understands means as separate yourself from physicality and attach yourself entirely to the Shechina. Which means that the real child, in a certain sense, of Moshe Rabbeinu is Yoshua. If you view Moshe, if the proper lens to view Moshe Rabbeinu's life is under a spiritual lens, and I were to ask you, who are Moshe's children? So the correct response would be that Yoshua, his Talmud, is his child. Every Talmud has some status of a child, almost in a halachic, in a pseudo-halachic sense. And especially, when you're looking at Moshe under that strictly spiritual lens, Yeshua is the son who inherits the father. So therefore, the bottom line, says the Avnei Nezer in conclusion, in his last couple of words, apparently the bottom line is, Chassam Sofer, you want to learn from Moshe, it's not so posh at all what Moshe's children's status was, Moshe Rabbeinu's spiritual status himself might set him apart, and therefore, from all of the above, it seems to me, She'ein Limud B'Moshe Rabbeinu B'Zeh, Moshe is not a good person to even try to ascertain what the halacha would be in this topic. He's the exception more than the rule.
In Tzipporah, complains to Moshe, to Aaron and Miriam, in Iran.
Right, right. So yeah, he was. We have to be careful how we impose our modern sensibilities upon it. But yeah, the bottom line is Moshe was being metapa with Klai Yisrael, and his children were bearing the brunt of that. Yeah. Okay.
Can't you say if Yoshua was Talmud, can't you say that all of Bnei Israel technically was
for his children?
Yeah. His children.
Well, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, did I give birth to these people? And the answer sort of is yeah. Chazal say on the words Eishes Chayil Miyimsa, this is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu in some places compared to the mother of Klal Yisrael. So yes, in a certain sense, every Jew is a child of Moshe Rabbeinu in that sense. But again, his biological children are no better candidates, I guess, is what the Avnei Nezer's takeaway is. And again, Moshe Rabbeinu as a model for analyzing this halacha is apparently not a very good model. Okay. There's a sefer called the Mikdash Mordechai, written by Rav Mordechai Ilan. I gave you a picture of him as well, not as well known as the Chassam Sofer. He passed away in 1981. He was a dayan in Tel Aviv, actually won some prizes in Eretz Yisrael for some of his writings in Choshen Mishpat. And he has a sefer, Mikdash Mordechai, which is really more of a Chumash sefer, and he has a very, very fascinating insight. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu knew his children weren't qualified. And he still went out of his way to ask, maybe my children should take over. Because Moshe understood that that's going to be the Metzias in the future. That there are going to be rabbis who have unqualified children who in some crazy way think that, how could my child not take over? How could this be the end of our family dynasty? And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu almost wanted to put it on record that there is no such thing as a child who takes over if he's not qualified. To teach us that Torah is not a Yerusha. Your father could be the Chavetz Chaim and you're not necessarily born into it. Right, to use the example that was referenced earlier. Even though the Chavetz Chaim didn't let his children, I pointed out once in the past, the Chavetz Chaim didn't let his children read the Sefer Mor Nevuchim from the Rambam, because he said to them, you're growing up in the home of the Chavetz Chaim, you don't have to go back to square one and work out if there's a God in the world. Like, come on. Yeah. The Chavetz Chaim, you see it in our home. It's clear that there's a God in the world. It's clear that Torah is given to our Sinai. So Mor Nevuchim is for people who are Navuch, who are confused. You're growing up in the Chavetz Chaim's house. There's a certain understanding that, you're going to be guided in a certain way. So he felt it was almost a step in reverse for his children to go back to learn the early works of Jewish philosophy, proving God's existence. Uh-huh. The fact that you met your father, the Chavetz Chaim, proves God's existence. But look what the Mikdash Mordechai writes here. Hadvarim tmuim. Devada yodla ga Moshe shabanam einem ru'uyim la'oso itzdala shamanhigus. Moshe Rabbeinu knew full well that his children were not qualified. So why did he ask for it? Ela Moshe Rabbeinu bikesh lahoris b'kach halacha ledoros. Moshe wanted to establish a halacha clearly, right? And again, this is an important takeaway for every single one of us. Ki haTorah eina b'Yerusha. Torah is not a Yerusha. Just because you like learning Torah does not mean that your children are going to like learning Torah. You have to work to educate your children, to put time and focus into that. Ela haroi l'kach hu hamanik. The one who sets himself apart as the leader should be the leader. And if people get insulted by that, too bad. We need to guide Klal Yisrael with proper leaders. And his trusted Lo Yamish, Gematria Yoshua, right, is more qualified than his children. And again, by bringing this into the conversation, the off-the-record conversation of the Torah, but the conversation that Chazal revealed to us, this becomes part of Torah's Moshe. And with that, I want to transition, really, B'derach Machshava, for the last part of the shir, to think about this idea. To think about part of the takeaway, again, according at least to the Chassam Sofer's conclusion, that what? That the Keser Torah, lo nemerza. There's no automatic transmission of Torah from one to the next. A person wants to have Torah in your life, you can be surrounded by the best people in the world. But if you're not going to sit down and learn Torah and make the effort to come to a Wednesday night chavura, if you don't sit and learn Torah, you're not going to get Torah into you. Even if you're surrounded by B'nai Torah and by people who are committed to Torah. Each person in his own way has to acquire the Torah and not just inherit it as part of Klal Yisrael. It says the Mishnah of Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is described as a chassid. Rabbi Yossi is one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai who are praised by the Rebbe. Rabbi Yossi, who interestingly says that what's the proper path a person should choose? When Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai told the students, go find the proper path, Rabbi Yossi says, make sure you have good neighbors. So Rabbi Yossi understands the value of community, he understands the value of surrounding yourself by positive role models, and yet says Rabbi Yossi, treat your friend's money like your own. We'll explain what that means in a moment. And be diligent in learning Torah. Because it's not a Yerusha. Torah is not automatically transmitted to you. Explains Rav Avadya Bar Tanur in his famous commentary on Pirkei Avos. He says in source number 7, Shalo Tomar, Ho va'avi chacham, va'avi avi chacham, my father was a chacham, my grand, right, like that famous joke. Why do you want to be a Kohen? My grandfather was a Kohen, my grandfather was a Kohen. So you might think the same thing, my father was a Talmud Chacham, my grandfather was a Talmud Chacham, so I must be a Talmud Chacham. Don't work like that. Right? Torah chozeres lachsan yishlah. You'll say to yourself, yeah, Torah comes back to the place where it's comfortable. Torah's always been a part of our family. Right? Don't say such a thing. And I don't need to pursue it. Says Rabbi Yossi, it's not true. It's simply not true. Haskin atzmecha lil mo Torah. Be diligent to learn Torah. She'ena Yerushalach. Because you could even be, according to the Chassam Sofer's assumption, qualified. But if you're not the most qualified, you could lose out. Right? You have to, just because you're Moshe's children doesn't mean, even if you're doing pretty well, that's enough. You can't ride the coattails of the earlier generations. Now the obvious question is, when it comes to Torah, we do have a pasuk that seems to imply it's Yerusha. And Jackie was already machalik between Yerusha and Morasha. We'll come back to that. But the question that's asked by many, many Svarim, and I gave you Rav Chaim Volozhner's commentary on Pirkei Avos, the Ruach Chaim in source number 8. Rav Chaim Volozhner says, but the Torah says, right, we know what it says in Devarim Perek Lamed Gimel. Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Morasha kilas Yaakov. It is a Yerusha. So says Rav Chaim Volozhner, not so fast. He writes in the second line in source number 8, Hainu l'chol Yisrael hi Yerusha. To Kehilas Yaakov, to the Jewish people in their entirety, yes, the Torah will never be lost. But as far as your personal relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, through Talmud Torah, that's not handed to you by anyone. Shal karchak lo pasak meam Torah. As far as the Jewish people are concerned, Torah shall never be lost. Aval lo l'chol yachid hi b'Yerusha ach im. Only if a person's going to tiyageya timtzeena, if a person's going to work at it, he's going to find it. Right? Yagati umatzasi tami. If I work and I achieve, then I can be believed. So says Rav Chaim Volozhner, but don't we have a Maimer Chazal in Bav Metzia Daf Pehei that says that the Torah, after 3 generations, gets comfortable? It's Machzeres Alachsan Yishalah L'Achar Shalosh Doros. Don't we know that the Torah has a comfort zone, so to speak, that it comes back to where it's comfortable? Don't we know what the Navi Yeshaya says? Don't we know the Navi Yeshaya tells us? It's in Perek Nun Tes, right? Lo Yamushu Mipichmo Yipizaracha. Right, that the Torah comes back to Arolam. So don't we know the Gemara says that the Torah gets comfortable in certain homes? So Rav Chaim Volozhner says, I'll explain with a mashal. He says, what that means that the Torah takes up lodging by a particular home means, imagine there's a merchant. And this merchant, when he came to town, used to stay by your grandfather. And he used to stay by your father. And now the merchant comes to town, so he knocks on your door, he wants to stay by you. But he's going to respond to the way that you greet him. So if you greet him, b'sever panim yafos, and you invite him in, right, he says, yes, just like your grandfather took care of me, your father. He's going to knock on your door first because there's an assumption that, yeah, this is a family that I have a relationship with. But if you open the door and you say, you know, with a scowl, what can I do for you? He's going to walk away. So when the Torah, when the Chazal say the Torah gets comfortable in particular families, yes, if your great-grandfather and your grandfather and your father were all outstanding Torah personalities out of love of Torah, the Torah will maybe more readily come knocking at your door. But if you don't open the door and let the Torah in, the Torah is going to walk away. Ain't a Yerusha. It's not a Yerusha. There's no guarantee that it's going to stay by you. Look what Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes in that small last paragraph in source number 8. Rav Chaim Volozhiner is probably the most well-known Talmud Mufak of the Vilna Gaon. But he had a brother who was just as big of a student of the Vilna Gaon, and in fact, by Rav Chaim Volozhiner's own assessment, was a much greater Talmud Chacham. The brother of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, Rav Zalman of Volozhiner, Rav Zalman was an off-the-chart genius. He was off the chart in his Yagiyah and Asmada B'Torah. And he writes here, he says, when my brother was a baby, probably about 5-6 years old, he once asked our other brother, Reb Simcha, the following question. If the Gemara says that after 3 generations, the Torah is never going to abandon that particular family, so I'll ask you a question. Right? A genius question of a 6-year-old. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. So how do you ever have an Amma Aretz? After the Avos, how is there ever a Jew who's not a Gadol B'Torah? The Torah should be knocking. So Chaim Volozhiner says, my brother Reb Simcha, the Torah of Zalman, right? Basically the answer that I'm giving you here in Ruach Chaim. Which is what? The Torah comes knocking by every Jew. Every Jew has the possibility. But yes, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, every Jew is going to get that knock on the door. The Torah would love to get to know you. The Torah would love to be a part of your home. But if you're not going to invite the Torah in, the Torah is going to walk away. Let's talk about Yerusha versus Morasha for a moment. Rav Schechter published on the art site of the Rav, I think it was after the first Yahrzeit of the Rav, his first Torah biographical work. I forget what they call those types of books. Called Nefesh HaRav. Right? It's not really a biography, and it's not really just a book of the Rav's. It's a quasi-biography, Torah teachings and Hanhagos of Rav Soloveitchik. And he writes there in the Hakdama, as he's describing the Rav's beautiful Mesorah. He says, I heard one time, and then in the footnote he says, I think I heard it from Rav Gifter, Rav Mordechai Gifter Zatzal, the difference between a Yerusha and a Morasha. What's the difference between Yerusha, an inheritance, and a Morasha? What's a good way to translate Morasha? Heritage. That's exactly what he says. Excellent. He says, maybe, he says, even in English, he says toward the end of the paragraph, where it's bracketed, even in English, these are two different things. Yerusha, he says, is inheritance, and Morasha, the gedra of Morasha, is heritage. Nice spelling. You see how Rav Schechter spelled it. Right, but what's the difference between a Yerusha and a heritage? Says Rav Schechter, again, he says, I've heard this explanation, maybe from Rav Gifter, that the difference is the following. Second line. The Yerusha, the gedra of Yerusha, the definition of a Yerusha, Eza darasha kibalti bailus alaf. A Yerusha means someone gave me something. It's a tangible something. Right? A grandfather passed away, and a grandson inherited the car. Yeah? Now, if the grandson wants to take the car to an edge of a cliff, right, and throw a rock on the gas pedal, and film it so it can make get a couple million hits on YouTube of a car going over a cliff, right? Because that's what he wants to do with it. It's not proper. It's not nice. It might be seen as very wasteful. But he can do whatever he wants with it. It's his Yerusha. He is now the Baal. He's the owner of it. And he can use it as responsibly or as irresponsibly as he chooses. His parents might not be happy if he does such a thing, right? His grandfather's neshama might be looking down saying, why did I leave it to this kid? He's so irresponsible. But the bottom line is a Yerusha is a tangible object that now you own. V'akol toloi bedaiti lasos bo kefi mashe eretz. I can do whatever I want with the object. Again, it may not be proper, but it's mine. What's a morasha? He says in the fourth line, a morasha hainu davar shekibalti alav bailus. Yes, I'm the owner of it, but I'm expected to pass it on to the next generation. It's mine with strings attached. Umechuya va'omer ani liros she'em serenu kol kulo ledor haba. That I should pass it on to the next generation. And I should pass it on completely intact. Perfectly guarded. Ulishmor elizar shelo yavid menu shum davar, that not a single bit of it should be lost. And therefore the Torah is called a morasha. The Torah is not a Yerusha, it's a morasha. Which means, yes, in some ways, yes, of course, again, like Rav Chaim Volozhiner said, the Torah is going to be knocking at your door. And you do have a right to the Torah. But it's not yours to do whatever you want with it. You have to protect it. You have to work to guard it. You have to earn it. I once, just remembering that, there's a Rav, his name was Rav Shaul Katzen Ellenbogen. I forget the name of his sefer. Maybe Divrei Shaul? Yad Shaul, I'm not sure. So he writes in his sefer, he says, the reason you need to guard the Torah so carefully is because Torah is alive. It's Torah's chayim. And just like if you're watching someone's pet, you know, lahavda, right? You're watching a live creature, you're watching someone's child, yeah, you're watching a baby, you don't leave the door open, the baby will wander off. So the Torah is alive. The Torah has to be guarded, right? Like a living creature. That if I don't keep an eye on it, it's going to walk off. The Torah is a living Torah. So a person has an obligation to protect the Torah, to be proactive in protecting the Torah. And I'll even go a step further. Because when Rabbi Yossi says, it's not a Yerusha, you have to guard the Torah, you have to work at Torah. And again, all the Achron were asking this question, Mo Rashak Yilas Yaakov, where the Pasuk, like I told you in Yeshaya, right? Lo Yamusha Mepicha, and from your children and your grandchildren forever. Not only do I need to guard it, which is what Morasha tells me, right, but I even have to try to advance it. I brought along the sefer Beis Aaron, the Beis Aaron of Karlin. And Aaron of Karlin says in Parshas Noach, he quotes from the Magid. He quotes from Rav Baruch of Mezhbush. He says Rav Baruch of Mezhbush asked this question. Rav Baruch of Mezhbush is the grandson of Baal Shem Tov, and he says, you know what the answer is? He says, yes, Morasha Kilas Yaakov, but it's not a Yerusha in the sense that what? What are you supposed to do with Torah? Parshas Noach, he writes, "Sheyilmo Torah kazos she'ena balacha biyerusha." You should learn Torah as if it's not a Yerusha. Of course, it's a Yerusha of sorts, but what should you do with the Torah? Hakavana b'zeh shekol ish yitzvah tzarch lechadish ba'atzmo ulifol b'Torah. A Yerusha could be a person says, "I got a Yerusha. I inherited $10 million. I'll never have to work another day in my life, right? But I might have a Yerusha, and I might still say, but it's still could die to work." So that's what Chazal is saying. When Rabbi Yossi says, learn Torah, be diligent in Torah, because it's not a Yerusha. Of course it's a Yerusha. Every one of us has a Yerusha from our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents. Right? But we also have to not only guard this Morasha, but we have to try to be l'chadish b'davar. We have to try to enhance the Torah in a proper way for the next generation. V'zeu shenikra Torah shebal peh, he says. That a Jew, he says, every Shabbos, every Chodesh, every year, maybe even every day, has to be l'chadish b'davar. To make sure that the Torah is a living Torah. My brother told me today, my brother David, who's in from Eretz Yisrael for the summer, he told me that there's a Ben Ish Chai in Parshas Tazria that says, with this we can understand the first part of Rabbi Yossi. What did Rabbi Yossi say? What was the first part of his sentence in Pirkei Avos? Treat your friend's money like your own. Imagine someone gives you money, right? And says, hold on to this money. Let's say you happen to know that you have a great koach of investing money and turning $100 into $200. That's what you do with your own money. Right? You don't just let it sit. You try to turn 100 into 200. So says Rabbi Yossi, you should treat your friend's money like your own. Just like when you have money, you try to think, how can I use this money to turn it into more money? So too, Haschin Atzmacha Lilmo Torah. Hashem says, I gave you my Torah, but don't just give it back to me at the end of your life, just the way that it was. I want to see your Chidush. I want to see what you did to enhance my Torah. How did you take, so to speak, my Torah to the next level? Right? Don't let the money that I lent you, so to speak, sit in the drawer. The Chavetz Chaim, in the very first page, the Chavetz Chaim al-Torah says, Chavetz Chaim gives a mashal. Imagine you lend someone money, someone begs you, I need to borrow money, please, I need it to survive. Right? And then they give you back the money, you can see it's in the same envelope that you gave it to them. So you didn't invest the money, you didn't spend the money, you didn't do anything with the money. So I gave up my money, which I could have been investing, because I cared about you, and you didn't do anything with it. Says the Chavetz Chaim, that's the pshat of the pasuk. Niki kapayim uvar leivav, asher lo nasa l'shav nafshi. Don't take your nefesh, the soul that I gave you, God said, and just let it come to this world and not do anything with it. Invest. Advance my Torah. Your soul is connected to a chelik in Torah. Try to find your chelik in Torah. Try to at least move things forward a little bit. Or again, at the very least, like Rav Shechter said, at least to maintain the status quo. To at least be able to give it over to the next generation the way that you got it. Not that it should be watered down from one generation to the next. So we come to the final source. A teaching from Rabbi Nachman in Likutei Moran, in Torah Reish Yud Zayin, and with this we'll connect in a very, very deep way to the Zman in which we find ourselves. Because we find ourselves in Chodesh Tammuz. Is this topic connected to the month? Again, especially this part of the month, where we're entering into the Bein HaMetzarim, and the answer is absolutely. Rabbi Nachman, Zechuso Yigen Aleinu, Rabbi Nachman has a very small teaching. Again, Torah Reish Yud Zayin, number 217 in Likutei Moran, explaining the pasuk Zichru Toras Moshe. We know the Navi Malachi signs out, "Don't forget my Torah. Don't forget the Torah of Moshe." Says Rabbi Nachman, "Zichru Toras Moshe is Rashi Tevos Tammuz, spelled without the vav." If we were to spell Tammuz, right? If I was writing a letter and I would just wanted to date my correspondence, month of Tammuz, I would probably write Tav Mem Vav Zayin. They spell most things Mali. You look in an Israeli newspaper, they spell everything Mali. They spell Aaron with a Vav. Aaron's never spelled with a Vav in the Torah. They spell everything Mali. Right? But Tammuz in Tanakh is sometimes spelled Chaser. And Rabbi Nachman says, Zichru Torah Smosh is Rashi Tevos Tammuz without the Vav for a very good reason. Ki oz b'tammuz tzrichem lahamshich hazikaron letakin ha-shichacha. Because in Tammuz there was a Yerida in Torah. What happened on Shiva Asar b'tammuz? The first thing the Gemara lists Shviras Haluchos. And the burning of a Torah, right? A destruction, a churban of Torah, a yerida of Torah, shichachas haTorah. Ki oz nishava shichacha. Chazal tell us that if not for the breaking of the luchos, we would never forget Torah. Ki al yedei haluchos shenishtabru b'chodesh tamuz nishava shicha. And yud zayin tamuz, when the luchos were broken, Torah was lost. El mali lo nishtabru haluchos harishonos lo nishtacha Torah yisof. It would have kept the first luchos, Torah never would have been forgotten. So therefore, why is that hinted to in the letter Vav? He says, "Ki mi'achash nistabru haluchos nistalik havav." The vav is lost. Why? Ki haluchos he b'chinas vav. Vav is the letter that represents the luchos. Why? Because almost every shul gets it wrong. Chabad is particular. You look at Chabad renderings of the luchos; they get it right. If you've ever been to the Children's Museum in Brooklyn, right? And you go to that room where you press the button, and then the luchos come down, and Harsina, the flowers pop up. It's great. You hear the thunder and the lightning, right? And the luchos come down, and when the luchos come down, they are perfectly square, because that's the shape of the luchos. They weren't rectangular. They weren't rounded on top, right? That they were perfectly square. They were 6 by 6 tzvachim, it's like Gemara in the Dar. He says here from Baba Vastra as well that the luchos were archon vav, varachon vav. So the shattering of the luchos, Zichru Torah Moshe, you've lost the vav, you've lost the luchos, which were vav by vav, which again, you have to understand why that is, why luchos were dafka 6 by 6. There's something to that also. All right, 6 by 6. I don't want to say a pshat. Why 6 by 6?
12 shots.
6 by 6?
6 times 6 is 36.
36 plus 32. Okay, maybe the 36 hours. Okay, 36 lights of Hanukkah, which is also Keneged Torah. I'm thinking vav by vav, thinking in the context of sukkah. What's vav by sukkah? The minimum size for a sukkah is what? It's 7 by 7. Why? That it should be able to contain, right? Rosh of Rubo v'Shulchano. How much is Rosh of Rubo? How much is the bulk of a person? 6 by 6. Right? So the luchos being 6 by 6 means that every bit of the luchos, kasim aluach libecha, you're 6 by 6. You're supposed to also be 6 by 6. You're supposed to incorporate the Torah into your life, that you should become the luchos. But says Rabbi Nachman, in conclusion, he says, Gam zman matan Torah seinu is Rashi Tevos Tamas. Because Tammuz, we have to think of as a Zman of Torah. Part of the Chorban that we're mourning is that without a Beis HaMikdash, we're mourning the loss of Torah, a Makom of Torah. Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah. The Mikdash was a place of Torah. That's where the Lishchas HaGazis was. That's where the Sanhedrin Gedola sat. Ki B'Tammuz Nitnu Aluchos. That's when the Luchos were given. That's when Torah was given. V'Gam Kan Chaser Vav. And again, Zichru Torah. Zman Matan Torah Seinu, also missing the Vav. Because again, like we explained, the Shriyas Aluchos. So Mirtz Hashem, what better way to metakin this than to learn Torah B'Chavura? To come together as a community, as people who want to transmit Torah to the next generation, and to make sure that we're learning Torah. Rav Avram Shur writes in his Alekach Valibov, he says, Haskin atzmcha lilmo Torah, because it's not a Yerusha. So he says, what about again? Morasha kilas Yaakov. He says, yes. When is it a Morasha? When is it a Yerusha? When there's a Kehila. When Jews come together. When there's Achdus amongst Klal Yisrael, which is a big part of what we're focusing on during these days. When there's Achdus amongst Klal Yisrael, then it's Yerusha. And that's why it says Rabbi Yossi, Rav Shur is Medayik, he says, what does Rabbi Yossi say? Haskin Atzmecha. If you see yourself as Atzmecha, if you see yourself as there's a me and there's a you, then you better prepare yourself to learn Torah, because it's not a Yerusha for such a person. But a person who sees himself as part of a Kehila, a person who understands the value of Torah Niknes B'Chabura, like the Gemara says in Meseches Brachos, that ain't Torah Niknes Ela B'Chabura, like Baruch Hashem we've done these last 2 weeks, next week we'll have a Chazaka Mirtz Hashem, a person who understands the power of a chabura, of people learning Torah, then it is Yerusha. Then we make sure that, again, we do our part to maintain it, and to mechadish bo davar, and to make sure that we're able to transmit the Torah in its entirety to the next generation. And in this way, we're attacking the Shviras Haluchos in the month of Tammuz, and in Mirtz Hashem, this month will become a month of tremendous joy and celebration with the Gula Shleim of Meher B'Yameinu. Amen. Amen.